Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
May God bless you. I'm glad to be back to talk to you again, and my prayer is that the perfect will of God will be done in your life. And I always think about all of you and ask the Lord to change your life to become a strong, mature disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart desire is to see that all of you grow spiritually, day by day, month by month, to become like Christ. And God will put His grace and anointing upon you. You will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the character of God, so that God will use you and you will be a blessing to many, many nations in the world. So I want to let you know that my heart desire is to see you grow more and more and to see God use you. There is nothing more joyful to me than to see God's children become mature and prosper in their physical life, their mental life, and also their spiritual walk with God. Today, I would like to talk about a lifestyle of fellowship. I want to encourage you to establish a lifestyle of fellowship. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come to you with a humble heart. We ask that your word will come in and renew our mind. We want, Lord, to be changed by the power of your word. We want to be set free from any stronghold, from any deceptive ideas and lies and opinion of the enemy and of the world system. But we want to think like you. We want to talk like you. We want to move like you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit to dwell inside us so that we can have the power of resurrection to obey you and to walk in righteousness and holiness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you read the Bible, you will realize that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been together in fellowship, in unity, in harmony from eternity past to future eternity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been together even before the creation of the world. The Bible said that let us make man. You see, the Bible did not say let me make man. Let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But 2,000 years ago, God the Father mercifully, graciously sent His Son Jesus Christ to this planet Earth to redeem you and me and all the sinners from sin, from the bondage of sin and the power of darkness. And not only that, to exchange the power of death with the new life, the power of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Up to the point that Jesus came into the world in a human form, Jesus had enjoyed oneness and uninterrupted fellowship, intimate fellowship with the Father. But in that hour that Jesus was hung on the cross, while he was bearing our sin, the sin of the mankind on the cross, receiving God's judgment on your behalf and my behalf, that fellowship, that intimate fellowship between the Father and the Son was temporarily broken, okay? We can see there, in John chapter 17, 21 to 23, Jesus was praying in the last few hours of his life, talking about unity between us, all of us as disciples, and the unity between him and the Father. That was before he was crucified on the cross. He said in verses 21 to 23, that they may all be one, they mean all of us, disciple, as you, Father, are in me, are in one in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just like we are one. I in them, and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. You see, Jesus trying to describe that he and the Father were one, and he wanted the disciple to be one together, and we as the disciple or the church, the body of Christ, will be one with him and one with the Father. So he's talking about unity. He's talking about intimate fellowship here. In fact, this scripture really impacted me a lot, that I have no right to judge any servant of God in the world. And this morning I woke up and I pray, God, please help me not to open my mouth to criticize anyone or to talk negative against any Christian in the body of Christ. Because God wants me to use my mouth to bless people, not to criticize people. And I want to be one with other Christians. And I want to be one, we want to be one with the Father and the Son. Look at what happened on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, verses 46 and 50. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. This happened while he was on the cross. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. You see, some people say Jesus was dying of a broken-hearted. He actually, the agony that he went through on the cross, the pain that he went through was not only the physical pain, the incredible agony that he had to go through. It was not just only from the physical torture of the nail in his hand, his feet, or the whip on his back, the bleeding, but I can almost say like he had a broken heart, not out of crucifixion, but he has lost a temporary, he has lost the fellowship, the intimate fellowship with the Father. Actually, that loss of fellowship or the broken fellowship between him and the Father was more painful to bear than the nails in his hands. So you can see that the Son and the Father has set us up a pattern or standard for the fellowship of believers on earth today. We should love one another so much. We should have close fellowship and care for one another, just like the Father and the Son had intimate fellowship with one another. Amen. So God already set us a good example, and we need to follow him. So one of the ways to become more like Christ is to put an effort in our life to build that fellowship between us as believers, Christians, and between us and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word fellowship, in fact, is a Christian word. You rarely see this word in other textbook or in other social group. You never heard the word fellowship in, a sport club or maybe lady clubs, Bellevue clubs or something like that. You don't see the word fellowship. It's only used by Christian. It's It comes from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia means communion. It means sharing in common. We come and share things in common. So it means living together in a community. I don't mean living in the same house, but living as a community of as a mutual. Mutual means together, each other, sharing. We share the happiness, we share the suffering together, and we share whatever God has given us together. Yesterday, I have a long conversation with one of my employees at my work. He is 37 years old. He graduated from one degree, but he had a hard time finding a good job. And he had to go back to school again to get another degree. He hoped that he would be able to find a better job, better pay, so he can have a family by 40 years old. And I shared with him that it's so different in our church. In our church, I rarely see people unemployed. People always help each other financially, job-wise. We always pray for one another, and God answered the prayer. We just pray for one sister in the church who came back to town here, and she got a good job right away. You know, it's so, there's a power in the gathering, the community, the come together. God loved that. God wants to live amongst His people. God wants to be in the midst of that gathering, that community, sharing the agape love or selfless, sacrificial love of God with one another. There are many words love in the Greek language. Philia means love as friend. It's still conditional. The word eros, love like romantic love between a man and a woman, you know, a wife and a husband, kind of more romantic. And storge is another love. But agape love is the love of self-giving. We care about others more than ourselves. So in the community of God, we fellowship, which means we share God's natural and supernatural gift with one another. God gave me supernatural gift to be a pastor and teacher. So I share that with brother and sister by preparing the food to feed, making sure that people will grow, praying for people, looking after people. Some of you may have the gift of singing, so you share that gift, the anointed to be singer. You share that gift with the community by singing in the worship team. You may have a natural gift of repairing a car, repairing engine of the car. So you use that natural gift to help one another. That is fellowship. You see, fellowship is not just coming to singing a song, have a communion, giving, and teaching the Bible. Communion or fellowship in a care group or in a small group is more than just having spiritual activities together. It's really sharing life, loving one another, helping one another. The Bible commands us to fellowship. It's a command. That's why we need to develop this lifestyle in the community of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. What John have seen and heard? Jesus. He and the disciple have seen and heard the Lord Jesus. So they declare to us that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Apostle John wrote this verse talking about the outcome of salvation, that when we come to know Jesus, we will fellowship with one another, and then we fellowship with the Father and the Son. So you can look and see in the scripture that It's God's desire for all Christians to be one in sharing in common or fellowship. In fact, God called all the saints, not just only a few, into fellowship. It's not God's will for us to stay home by ourselves and become a loner Christian and to stay home and watching Christian TV at home. It's not God's will for us not to be a part of a local church. Or you may be a part of a local church, but you never get involved in any other activity or meeting or coming together to fellowship. It's something you need to build it. You need to make an effort and grow that lifestyle and see the importance of this command of Jesus Christ, fellowship. Okay? So when you need to understand that if we obey this teaching, this command of heaven, we become one in fellowship. God will pour out His blessing, His anointing, and His provision that is very rich and glorious, so that the whole world will know that we are His people. In other words, when the people outside the church look at you and me, and they see that how God bestow on our life the blessing, the grace, the anointing, the provision of God, they will know that we are a special people of God and we have the presence of God with us. Fellowship bring the corporate presence of God, and the presence of God comes with the blessing, with healing, with victory. Amen. It's so clear in my medical profession that no matter what happened in the city right now, my practice is still very stable. Why other surgeons have a hard time getting patients in? But God bless me. You know why? Because I make a decision to be in the fellowship and serve the Lord and be in the local church. And it's the same testimony can be given by all the believers in our church that believe in this teaching and believe in this truth in the Bible. Amen. Now, there is another word that we see in the Bible, the word church. The word church in Greek is ecclesia. Fellowship is koinonia, but church is ecclesia. The word ek means to come out or outside of something. The word ex in English all the time, ex. Ecclesia mean to gather or to congregate, to come together. So the word church in Greek language mean those who have been called out from the world or from the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of Satan and gather together as a group. You should not just call out, but you must gather. You must come together. So, you can see from the word ecclesia that it's not God's will for us just to believe God and then be alone by ourselves in a home. God's will is that we, after we get saved, we need to find a local church. We need to look for a local congregation, a gathering group, or we call church or ecclesia, go there and join them. I don't mean that everyone will be called to be in New Hope International Church, but every Christian should find a local church to go. You see what I mean? Thank God if they join us, and we're going to do our best to make sure that all these believers will grow and be taken care, loved, and trained. We will do our best to fulfill the heart of God or the plan of God for their life. But if they don't join New Hope International Church in Seattle, they need to look for a church to join, to be a part of the congregation. And then what happened? God will be very pleased to dwell among His people in that fellowship. and His power will be made manifest. People will see His power in the group of people. There are two kinds of anointing. Do you know that? Private, personal anointing, and another word called corporate anointing. Corporate anointing is stronger than personal anointing because it's a summation of a lot of anointing together. That's why if you go to a meeting with 100,000 people, everyone stand there worshiping God, you feel the presence of God stronger than you yourself sitting in the room and try to worship God, because it's corporate, it's combining together the power of God from each believer. I want to explain to you that the foundation or the basis of Christian fellowship is the covenant of God. God has made covenanted with us. And in the same way, He wants us to make a covenant toward one another under the covenant of God. Jesus Christ has established that covenant at the time of communion, the first communion, the first last supper. You remember? And after that, He commanded all the Christians to practice communion. At that communion, we share the cup and we share the loaf, the bread. And Jesus, the Bible used the word share the cup of the covenant together. It's about covenant that God made with us. The covenant relationship with God and with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 17, the cup of blessing, talking about communion, talking about covenant between Christians and God and one another. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Okay, the bread is compared to the body of Jesus. The cup is symbolic of His blood. So when we come in communion together, we are reminding ourselves that we make a covenant with Jesus, that He died on the cross, He shed His blood for us. And then Paul continued to say in verse 17 about the gathering of having that cup and bread. Though many, we are many, but we are one. So you can see the correlation in verse 16 and 17 between communion, covenant with God, and the oneness of fellowship amongst the believers. So our fellowship, the fellowship between brother and sister in the church, is based on the covenant that God made with man. Because we have the same Father, because we serve the same God, God put all of us together to be one body in the local church. And we break bread from one bread, sharing one. You see, everything, the word one, 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 one. One body, one bread. You see? So God wants us to really become one. What happened if you cut your hand out of your body? Not your hand is not one with your body anymore. What happened to the hand? The hand will die. And your body hurts, suffers. The same thing. You can see that as you cannot disconnect the finger out of your body, if you did that, it will cause so much damage to your body. The connection between the finger to the rest of the body is so inseparable. You see, God just connect together. The same thing, we as Christian, we fellowship, we are one together. We should always think that we are inseparable, we are in one body. We need each other so badly. We need each other. This church cannot go on without the brother that sit next to you or sit in the another part of the room. The church will suffer without another sister that may not be even in your care group. So you need to really value that each person is so important, and each person is a part of this body. We need to love each other and care for one another. So if you understand from scriptures and see the will of God for Christians, you can see that God wants us to be together as one body, and that joining together is based on the covenant with God. Because you make a covenant with God, I make the covenant with God, another brother in the church has made the covenant with God, another sister in the church has made the covenant with God. We all have the same covenant. We have the same contract. You see? So with the same contract with God, we come together and we can join together in a community as one. That covenant creates two relationships. Vertical relationship between us and God, and horizontal relationship between ourselves. So, this is so holy. This is so important. Yesterday, Pastor Da was mentioning about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the south part of Thailand to a Christian sister. And that Christian sister began to talk bad about different denomination, you know, I don't want to mention. But definitely one is that to attack charismatic churches. I was sitting there listening. I have bad feeling in my stomach because I feel that this lady did not understand the heart of God, that God doesn't want to see Christian criticize one another. Local church, we are one in a practical way because we are living in the same city. But as Christians in the body of Christ, we are one too. So we should not attack each other and talk bad toward one another. If we attack somebody, some Christian in another church, we are breaking the covenant with God. You see what I mean? We are sinning against God, because God wants us to be one. God wants us to value or honor that covenant with Him. He is a dad. He doesn't want to see Christians fighting each other. If you have three kids, you don't want to see your three kids fighting each other every single day, talking bad against each other every day. Amen? So, I believe that this kind of teaching has to be reminded again and again, because we are human. We have sinful nature. Inside us, we tend to criticize. We tend to talk bad about other people. And even I myself have to, I need to repent every day and be careful of what I think about other Christians all the time. I need to make a decision to love them instead of criticizing them. Amen. So that covenant relationship is so serious in the eyes of God. It's so solemn. And it's the basis of all the fellowship among Christians. So anytime you think about relationship between ourselves, Christian brothers and sisters, you need to remember that that relationship is based on our relationship with the Father. It's not just human relationship. The foundation is in our covenant that we make with God. And when we realize that, we will live together in unity. Amen? And then we can live together with love, loyalty, commitment, and blessing among ourselves. We need to keep that relationship. I appreciate many, many members who have left this city and has gone out to other countries or nations of the world. Thank God for those people who still keep relationship with us here, writing email, sending card, you know, sending money to help. We send money to help them, they send money to help us. It's so beautiful that this brother and sister do not just throw away all the relationship that they make with New Hope International Church for 3 or 4 years while they were student here. They still keep that covenant and relationship with us here. And I noticed that everyone, every Christian who has been doing that all these 10 years, after they left Seattle, all of them have been blessed. You know why? Because they follow the purpose of God. It's to keep the fellowship with brothers and sisters. And I do the same thing with other ministry in the body of Christ. Last night, I called one minister who is a Bible school, dean of the Bible school. And sometime, and a pastor that took him out for dinner. We call him. We took flower to him. We care. Because we have felt we are in the body of Christ together. I cannot fellowship with the whole world because I have limited time. But whoever God has brought into my life, I will keep that fellowship. You know, I will keep the love, the loyalty, the commitment. Because if I do that, I continue in love, in loyalty and commitment, then what happened? The communion cup that I partake will be the cup of blessing. I read one more time. The cup of blessing which we bless. Do you want to be blessed by God? You value Christian fellowship. Otherwise, it will be a cup of judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. How you eat and drink with unworthy manner? Can you tell me how? Such as hate brother and sister in the church. You don't want to repent of your sins. You don't want to forgive anyone. You live in sin. You despise the church. The body of the Lord is the church. You have bad attitudes against pastors. You quarrel and fight with somebody in your church. That is unworthy manner. You don't come to God with repentance, with obedience, with peace, with joy, with love toward Him and toward others. And the Bible says, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning, not thinking and caring the Lord's body. What is the Lord's body? The church. So when you come together in communion, you are actually coming with the unity in your spirit, in your heart that say, we are one together and we're going to honor the body of Christ. We're going to honor the gathering of the believers together. John chapter 20 verse 31, the Bible says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John, Apostle John said that he wrote the whole book of John so that the whole purpose is that we may believe that Jesus is Christ. And by believing that Jesus is Christ or the Messiah or the Son of God, you may have life, eternal life and abundant life in His name. So what the Bible tried to say is that if you want to be saved, you want to have eternal life, your sins are forgiven, starting a new abundant life, you need to believe in the Son of God. The question is this: how do we know that we really, really believe? How do we know that we are really saved? That is a good question, because sometimes you see somebody who wear a cross on the neck and claim to be a Christian, and you look at his lifestyle, you are not sure that he is saved. There must be an evidence that a person is saved. How do you know that you really, truly, truly believe in Jesus? Some people may say, yeah, I know because I know. I don't think it's enough. You say, I know that I know. You see what I mean? It's like when you walk to the immigration, they will ask you, are you American citizen? You say, yes. Can I see the evidence? You say, oh, because I speak English. They will say, no way. You need to show evidence. And that is the American passport. You need to show the American passport to confirm that you are an American citizen. There is a better way to show that your faith is genuine or not. And I want to read that scripture to you. Do you know that your faith is genuine? John chapter 5 verse 24. I read from Amplified Bible. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, this is what Jesus said, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who sent me, has eternal life. So Jesus said that whoever listens to his word and believe in the Father, cling to him, will have eternal life, mean really born again. And he does not come into judgment, does not incur sentence of judgment, and will not come under condemnation, but he has already passed over out of death into life. So Jesus tried to say that if you are really born again, believe in Jesus, believe in his word, repent of your sin, you come out of death. What is death? Separation from God. Death is the wages of sin. Sickness, going to hell, bondage, all kind of bad things. You pass over out of death into life. Means you really become a child of God. That's what Jesus said. Now look at 1 John chapter 3 verse 14. John, the same person who wrote John 5:24, give us the evidence that a person is really born again. Okay, let me read that. We know that we have passed over out of death into life. We know, you see, he said, we know that we have passed over out of death into life by what? By the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. He who does not love abides in spiritual death. Wow. So the evidence that you are really born again is that you love your brother and sisters. You love to fellowship. You love to hang out and be around with Christians. You love them. You show love to them in words and in action. Amen. So the most reliable way to see whether you are a child of God or not is to see whether you love brother and sister in the church or not. Amen. Wow. To wear the cross on your neck is not enough. To carry the Bible is not enough. You need to live a life of showing love to brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank God that many of you have been serving and helping other brothers and sisters in the church, and that is the way to show love. A few days ago, a member in the church talked to my wife, Pastor Da, and said, I really want to serve God. And Pastor Da said, do you know what it means when you say, I want to serve Jesus? It means you serve the brothers and the sisters. If you say you love Jesus, you love the brothers and sisters in the church. 1 John chapter 5 verses 1 to 2. you can see that God commands us to do two things. And these two things are connected, interrelated. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, mean the Father, love his children too. I read this from, I try to quote from New Living Translation, NLT. He who loves the Father loves his children too. And by this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You can see that in this scripture, there are two things that God commands us to do. Number one, to believe in Jesus. Two, to love his children. This is all about Christianity, I tell you. Christianity is about faith and love. You have faith in God. You believe in Jesus. And you love him and love brothers and sisters. The whole Bible, you make conclusion that way. Faith in God, follow him, trust him, and you believe and you love the children of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his order, his command, and his injunction, that we should believe in, put our faith and trust in, and adhere to and rely on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The first command, what? Believe, trust, rely on Jesus. Two, and that we should love one another just as he has commanded us. So you can see that the evidence of faith, the outcome of faith in Jesus is love, loving one another, fellowshipping with one another. Let me repeat one more time. The evidence or the outcome of your true, genuine faith in Jesus is to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God. And he who loves his fellow men is born of God and is coming to know and understand God. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, for God is love. Amen. Wow, pretty straightforward. God is love. So if we have God in our heart, if we know him, we will certainly have God's love in our heart, and we receive a new life, and we begin to walk a life of love. Amen. Fellowship is about love. It's about loving brothers and sisters. And it's a command of God. And I want to encourage you that God will give you enough grace and power to be able to do what he commands you to do. I know that sometimes you may feel that you don't want to love your brothers and sisters because of their weaknesses. You see, you know, after you know each other for a while, you see their flawed character and their sins. It's very hard to love unlovely people, annoying people in the church. No, not everyone in the church come in pure and clean like Jesus, so they still have a lot of baggage and a lot of problem, and it's so hard to love them. But may God give you enough grace to love these people. I want to encourage you that remember this: we all on the journey of spiritual walk. Your brother and sister, including yourself, are on that journey. So today, they may not be perfect. They make a lot of mistakes and may stumble you and make you very, their life disturb you. But God say, love them, because they're going to change one day. If you You help them to change by loving them, not by rejecting them. You see what I mean? And if you keep loving people, people are going to change. So I want to encourage you that fellowship is based on the covenant with God. And that covenant that you make with God, mean believe in Jesus, will produce the lifestyle of love, loving one another. Amen. Let me tell you the benefits of fellowship a little bit here before I end this part of the teaching. And I will continue the second part in the next CD. As I mentioned, there are two kinds of anointings. I mean, two level, two category of anointing and grace. Grace means supernatural power that God gives to you so that you can do what He expects you to do. Grace doesn't mean a special paper to sin, a special, a special paper that He signs, say, oh, you go and sin and you come back and say sorry to me. No. Grace means supernatural power that the Holy Spirit gives you to be able to do what He calls you to do. Many, many Christians miss out the greater blessing or the greater anointing. And that greater anointing or greater blessing is found in cooperate gathering, the fellowship. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Five of you shall chase 100, but 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight or to run away. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Fellowship, gathering together, sharing in common, will bring God's people His supernatural, abundant grace. If five can chase 100, which means one can chase 20, is that right? If you calculate. So if you have 100, you should be able to chase only 2,000. Think about it, calculate. 5, 100, 100, 2,000. But God promises greater blessing. He said that 100 will chase 10,000. So in other words, if you are not in the gathering or in the fellowship, you will miss out on the 8,000 that God wants to give you. You will suffer loss. There's a power of gathering and fellowship. That's why I noticed that a lot of answers to prayer came out of the care group or the fellowship group. Because when a lot of people come together and pray together for certain requests, God will answer them. You see more power, you see more grace of God upon the situation or upon a person's life. So I want to encourage you, don't be a loner Christian. Join into the fellowship. The more, the better. Number two, the second blessing. You will have confidence on that day at the throne of judgment that you are saved for sure. In other words, if you walk the walk of love every day, you know that one day when you die or Jesus comes back, you stand in front of Him, you will go to heaven. You know what I mean? You don't have to question or guess, am I saved? I am going to heaven. Because you already read 1 John a while ago that the evidence of being born again is loving brothers and sisters. You know, I know I'm saved for sure because I love brothers and sisters. I've been serving as a pastor for 20 more years. And all these 20 years, I never received any benefit from the church. Zero salary for 20-something years. Nothing. No one give me anything. And I and Pastor Da all these years said, pray like this, and we talk to each other, say, there are only two reasons that we are still serving as a pastor today. No personal gain, no financial gain, just two reasons. Number one, because we love Jesus so much. And number two, because we love His people. You can see many times I send a lot of emails to all of you. I try to fellowship with people by emailing. And just because I think about members all the time, I want to encourage them. I want them to know that I love them so much. I want them to grow in their faith. I want them to know that somebody cares to think about them. You see? So, when you stand before the God, the judgment seat of Christ that day, you know, you have confidence. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, "And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." In this way, you see, if you live in love, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Thank God that you, if something happened to you and you die physically, you don't have to worry that you will go to hell, because you live a life that proves already that you are born again. Amen. Have confidence on the day of judgment. Not only that, verse 18 say, another blessing of walking in fellowship or in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, but the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you walk in fellowship, you love your brothers and sisters, you don't have to walk in fear anymore. In any relationship, either husband and wife, or brother and sister, or Christian community, believe me, a lot of people are facing fear of some sort within their heart. For example, fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of persecution, fear of being misunderstood, fear of being cheated, being taken advantage of. Do you have that sometime? I do sometime. That I sometimes fear rise up because sometimes the devil will try to talk to me that, oh, don't spend too much time with this person because I waste my time. This person will not care about relationship. But the reason I think that way is because I'm not walking in love. Think about it. If you walk in love, selfless, self-giving, sacrificial love, you respect people, you sympathize with people, you love them unconditionally, whether they pay back to you or not, you're not going to walk in fear. If they don't pay you back, if they reject your relationship, your love, so what? I walk in love. You see what I mean? So it will help you a lot not to walk in fear. Love really helps you to pass from death to life and enjoy a supernaturally victorious life here on earth. You're going to be happy all the time. You will not feel rejected. You will not feel being cheated. You love people no matter what. They may not pay anything back to you. They may forget about you. But you do it for God. You love people because God loved them. Amen. It's so important that we need to walk in love, and love is the foundation of fellowship. We fellowship with one another because of love that we have for God and we have for one another. Amen. One more last thing I want to share at the end of this session is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 17 to 26. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So if all the part is nose, are the noses, then there is no body, because only noses. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, like liver and kidney, you don't see. It's inside. They are inside. Are treated with special modesty. Why our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members, members mean you and me, each Christian, of the body, and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In other words, the Bible tried to say this. None of us are spiritually complete. Each of us need others. Without the fellowship with other parts of the body of Christ or in the church, we will never become complete. We are lacking. Like the nose cannot digest food, but the stomach cannot breathe, cannot get the oxygen in. The stomach depends on the nose. The nose depends on the ear, and the ear depends on the brain. You see, each part of the body is not complete or perfect. They just join together to make a perfect and complete body. So we need each other in order to see, to smell, to touch everything that God intends for His church to see, to smell, and to touch. I need you so that I can see the glory of God clearer. And you need me so that you can hear the glory of God and the voice of God clearer. We need each other in the local church. And as local churches together in the body of big body of Christ, the universal church, they all need each other. You cannot say that each local church has everything. Each local church needs other local churches too, to be together, to support one another. So if the eyes refuse to see, the entire body will be blind and everyone will suffer. Is that right? So it's our job to honor everyone's role and encourage each other to use their gifts and talents to bless one another. Fellowship helps us as the whole group, as one body, to be complete. Without fellowship, your Christian life will be handicapped. You will never grow to become like Christ. You need others to grow, to become like Christ. Amen. So in conclusion, we are all called out of darkness and to gather together in the local church. And fellowship is a command of God, and we need to develop this lifestyle. I want to encourage you to go to the fellowship group, maybe lady groups, men group, Bible study group. Go out with your Christian friend to do activities together, bowling together, crack group meetings. Amen. We go to church camp to fellowship with one another. Have dinner together, gathering. Maybe you can set up lunch or dinner together. Spend time together, and God's blessing will be poured upon you. And you shall see the power of gathering. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you so much, Lord, for revealing your truth, your heart desire for all of us who are your children. Father, I pray, Lord, that this teaching will be imprinted into the hearts of your disciples in the church. Lord, that people who listen to this CD will make a decision to consistently fellowship with other Christians in the church. Father, bless them indeed. Pour out your anointing and your grace upon them. May you help them to see the greater blessing of gathering and fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. Don't forget to listen to the second CD of this topic. I love you, and I believe that God will continue to build you up, and you will be blessed to be the blessing to the nations. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.